Welcome to Verse by Verse. We must go. Today we are going to study Jude, verse 8 through 10. We must go. In context, Jude wrote to the Christians of the first century about the need to contend for the Christian faith because false teachers are creeping into the church. And in these three verses, we're going to see why people become false teachers. Let's read. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. So my brothers and sisters, we need to contend for the faith that is based not on the dreams of men, but on the Word of God. Let's look a little deeper at these three verses. Notice in verse 8 it says, "Yet in like manner these people also." So he's making a comparison. These men are like people who did not believe, angels who did not abide, and cities who did not repent. These men, these false teachers that have crept into the church, are also condemned. And you may ask the question, well, how did this happen in their lives? They deny him. How does this happen where people become false teachers? Well, Jude says, here's how it happened. These people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme. So first notice that all of this happens because they're building their lives on a poor foundation, which is their dreams. They're relying on their imagination. But you know, when you put your faith in something that is not according to reality, then you're going to be off base. God is able to do much more than we can ask or think or imagine. So we need to have our faith in something greater than ourselves, something greater than our imagination. Instead, we should put our faith in the Word of God. And there is a false teaching in the church today. It's called the word of faith. It's where you put your faith in faith, where you believe in your words. If you say, "I'm going to be healthy," and you believe that, they say that you're going to become healthy. If you say, "I will have a Mercedes-Benz," and you believe in your words, you're going to have it. But that's not faith in God. That's faith in dreams. And that is not a strong foundation for your lives. And I've actually heard some teachers come into some churches and say to everybody, "What is the dream that you have in your heart? And you need to ask God to make your dream come true." That, my friends, is not what the Christian faith is all about. The Christian faith is not about fulfilling our dreams. The Christian faith is about the will of God. What is the will of God for our lives? Not what is your dream for your life? These people are relying on a false moral compass, a compass that leads them astray. Are you relying on a true compass? The Word of God is the true compass. David said, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet." Or are you relying on your dreams to direct your lives? You cannot rely on both God's word and your own dreams. Notice as it goes on, it says that as they're relying on their dreams, they defile the flesh. You know, the way to feel comfortable in a sinful lifestyle is to make up a new religion that approves of your lifestyle. A lot of people do this. Homosexuals will believe this. People who have sex before marriage will believe this. Relativists are believing in their own dreams. They say you get to make up whatever is true, and whatever you think happens to you after you die, that's what will happen to you after you die. And so that's the beginning point of what goes wrong with these false teachers. They've made up for themselves a false religious system, and they haven't accepted the authority of God's word. Also, Mormons do this. They've crept into Latvia and many other countries of the world and are proclaiming a faith based on their dreams. They say, "Pray about whether the Book of Mormon is the word of God, and you'll get a dream or a burning in your heart that makes you feel like it's true." That's not a good test for truth. Buddhists say they have a feeling that confirms what they believe. Muslims would say they have a feeling that confirms what they believe. But your feelings, they're not a reliable guide for what is true. Let's rely on the Word of God rather than dreams. And watch out for those who rely on dreams or visions that they have had that are not according to Scripture. Certainly, there may be dreams or visions that come from God, and we should follow those as long as they are consistent with the Word of God. But when someone puts more authority in their own dreams, imaginations, or visions than in God's Word, then be careful, because what comes next is defiling the flesh. What that means is your body becomes, instead of being a holy temple for the Lord, it becomes defiled with idolatry, with all kinds of gross sin, and God is a holy God. He cannot accept those who are defiled in the flesh. Now, we are only cleansed by the blood of Jesus from our past sins, but if you're not relying on the gospel, then you have no forgiveness of sins, so they're defiled. And then the next thing they do is reject authority. The authority is God himself. God is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And when he says something is wrong, then it's wrong. When he says something is right, then it's right. You cannot win if you fight against God, who is in authority. But people will say, oh, well, I don't agree with that. The next thing that these false teachers do is they blaspheme the glorious ones. Do you see that in Jude verse 8? Relying on their dreams, they defile the flesh, they reject authority, and they blaspheme the glorious ones. What does blaspheme mean? It means to speak evil against something, to speak harshly. And who are they speaking evil against? The glorious ones. So it's calling something glorious, calling it evil. And what I think is ridiculous about this is in their imagination, they're dreaming that they can get away with this. You're really fighting against what you know exists. But because he does exist and you're fighting against him and he is the judge of all the earth and he is good, you're fighting against what is good and glorious. You're speaking evil about what is good. So it's really a matter of deception. Now, Peter says a similar thing in 2 Peter 2:10, and especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority, bold and willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. Who do they think they are? Why do they dare go against God? They haven't learned the fear of the Lord. Many verses in the Bible say that our responsibility as Christians is to teach our children the fear of the Lord. What happens if we stop preaching the fear of the Lord in the church? If we make God into a toothless lion, then we start not feeling threatened when we're living in sin. We start feeling secure in our sin. But God wants to teach us the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yet if you remove the fear of the Lord, then you're going to open the floodgates for all kinds of gross immorality, blasphemy, and rebellion against authority. False teachers are deceived because they rely on their dreams, and they're living in sin which defiles the flesh, and they reject the authority of God because they make themselves the authority. So how dare they go against the Lord? And so Jude verse 9, in contrast to how daring they are, it says in verse 9, but when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he said, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Okay, so what is Jude saying here? If there's anyone that deserves to be spoken evil about, it would be the devil, right? And he wanted to lift himself up and become God. So he was kicked out of his position and condemned to go to hell forever. But Michael, the archangel, he's a good angel. You see him in other places of the Bible prophesying about the Messiah. He was a powerful angel of God, the chief of the angels, the angel with the highest authority. Yet even he did not dare to blaspheme Satan. How much worse then is it for a human being to blaspheme the good angels or even the God who created the angels? That is a daring and bold move. But if they remove the fear of God and they're relying on their dreams, they're not in touch with reality. There's a word for people who are not in touch with reality, who are living in a way that is not in accordance with reality. It's called crazy. Literally, insane means to live in a way that's not according to reality. Somebody who thinks that they're a god, they have a delusion. They are crazy. Someone who thinks that they can go against God and blaspheme God all day long without ever having to pay the consequences, they're living in a delusion. But some people, because they abandon logic and reason and the word of God, the authority that God has given, they go off into false teaching and they err. This is what happened to the false teachers in the time of Jude in the first century, and this is happening still today. So let's contend for the faith that is in accordance with reality, relying on the scriptures. And then finally, for today's Bible study, we'll look at Jude verse 10. It says, "But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively." So in other words, these men are blasphemers, and they're speaking evil against what they do not understand. They're ignorant of spiritual things, but they're speaking evil against it. How can you speak evil against something you don't really understand? You're just speaking out of ignorance, and you're going to be wrong. These men are destroyed, it says. They are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. They're destroyed by that. Can it be more clear than that? Jude knows that they are not saved. They're destroyed by ignorance. So what's the opposite of that? You can be saved by the knowledge of the truth. Paul said that it's good for us to proclaim the gospel because God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But if you don't come to the knowledge of the truth, you're going to be destroyed by ignorance. So I encourage people to read the Bible for themselves. Don't be ignorant. If you're going to reject the Bible without reading the Bible, then you don't have a good basis for making a judgment. You should first read the Bible and ask God to help you to understand it, because you can't understand it naturally. It's a spiritual book. And so we need the Holy Spirit's help to understand the Bible. Now, these men are more like unreasoning animals. They understand certain things instinctively, their body appetites for food and drink and air and sex and rest. Those things are natural desires, but just because it's natural doesn't mean it's good. And some people will argue about homosexuals, saying that they were born that way, and because it's natural, then it's not bad. What's the assumption there? The assumption is that you can just do what feels natural, and you're doing good. But some people have a seared conscience, a defiled conscience. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." And so that's what's going wrong in the church today. When men who are not born again of the Holy Spirit, when they're leading the church, they're going to lead the church astray. We ought to have, at the very least, a born-again Christian leading the church, not the non-believers leading the church. So there are false teachers in the church who do not have spiritual discernment, that do not have the Holy Spirit to give them understanding. So your relationship with the Holy Spirit is very important. If it's Him that gives you understanding, then why are you basing your understanding of truth on your dreams, on your feelings, or on your own authority? Ephesians 4:30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Galatians 6:8, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." There's two kinds of people. There's the spiritual man, one who has the Holy Spirit and sows to the Spirit and reaps from the Holy Spirit eternal life. And there's the natural man, the one who sows to his flesh, and what he gets out of his flesh is corruption, and he doesn't get eternal life. Which one are you? Are you like these men that Jude is warning against, who are relying on their dreams, their own authority, and their feelings? Or are you a believer in Jesus Christ that relies on every word that God has given, seeking to follow Jesus, not according to your own feelings? If you are a Christian, then praise God that you have been delivered from the lies of the enemy. 2 Peter 1:4 says, "By which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful nature." I love that God has granted to us many great promises that help us to escape our corrupt human nature. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through him. When Jesus said he is the truth, he means he is the reality. So if you want something reliable and solid to put your faith in, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is reality. He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be like the wise man who built his life on the rock. We must go. He who builds his life on the solid teachings of Jesus Christ will stand when the storms come. Take what he taught. Not just hearing the word, but being a doer of the word, you will be secure. Next time, we'll continue our study of the book of Jude, starting in verse 11. Thanks for listening.